We're talking with Richard Thomas. He's a writer who's jumped into topics about ghosts, poltergeists, UFOs, aliens, Bermuda Triangle, Illuminati, and a whole range of stuff. Want to open up the phone lines with your questions in a couple of minutes, right after this on Coast to Coast AM. We'll go to the phones in a moment. Richard Thomas is my guest. Richard, you mentioned in the last hour that you were a little bit reluctant to sort of open yourself up and see what comes in when you're on these paranormal hunts. Are you concerned that there might be some harm? I mean, do you know of any cases where people have been harmed by ghosts, spirits, whatever they are?
Somebody actually told me yesterday, as it is, just they were. It was a relative told me that years ago he was playing with a Ouija board, and he claims that he was attacked by some sort of invisible being, basically, and pinned up to the wall. And I thought he was, you know. My sister started laughing and thought perhaps this is, you know, this is some sort of joke or whatever. But no, he was being very serious about it. He was sort of, you know, warning me about getting, you know, involved in sort of, you know, paranormal type things, because I went to a paranormal conference type event on Saturday. So yeah, I have heard stories about people being harmed by the paranormal.
Kind of a coincidence.
And I
That
think.
was my next question I was going to ask, is whether you had any experience with Ouija boards, because it was one of the articles we posted on our website tonight was about scientists looking into Ouija boards and whether there's anything to it.
Yeah, I would say the paranormal is a lot like, you know, electricity. It's not something you know you want to mess about with.
You
You
ever
know,
hear, as
you
you're
can.
working on your ghost stories or articles or you know, your research, whether you've heard stories other than the Ouija board story of ghosts that really just scare the socks off of you, or a specter in some of these old homes or castles that is there, manifests itself in ways that's meant to frighten people?
Oystermouth Castle in Mumbles here in Swansea. There's a ghost there called the White Lady, and she appears with all sorts of welts and things on her back, and people think that she might have been tortured to death at the castle, you know, being whipped. You know, so that's probably the scariest ghost I've heard about. And people see her that have never heard about her is the interesting thing. You know, people that, you know, didn't even know there's a, you know, a castle there or in Mumbles, you know, just passing by or whatever, they'll see her.
I wonder why we don't see spirits. People don't see ghosts of people who died thousands of years ago instead of hundreds of years ago. I mean, there's been a lot of humans on the planet who have died over the years. If you've got a spirit and it's eternal and it lives on, why do we see them of the recent past and not a long, long time ago? Or am I wrong?
I think you're right about that. It does seem to be that, you know, most ghosts that people see are only from a few centuries ago. But perhaps the stone tape theory could explain that. You know, like a VHS tape will get worn out after you've watched it too many times. It'll sort of, you know, perhaps that's the, if these are recordings, perhaps these recordings only last so long, and they sort of degenerate, and eventually you can't play them at all.
I want to switch gears for a second, then we'll go to the phone lines. It deals with the Bermuda Triangle. You wrote a book about this, your first book, I think. Tell me what your take on that, as I'm sort of an agnostic about the Bermuda Triangle. I know a lot of planes and ships have disappeared. I also know that that's a heavily traveled area, so I'm sort of in the middle. Make the case. You think it's weird?
Yeah, I think it's weird. It's not my first book. My first book is Paranews, but there is a little chapter about the Bermuda Triangle in that. I think since records began in 1851, something like 8,000 people have gone missing in the Bermuda Triangle. A lot of those probably can be explained, you know, conventional explanations, you know, the weather and things there might explain it, but I don't think it can explain everything that happens there. I mean, Christopher Columbus, probably had one of the first UFO sightings, you know, in the Americas, in the Bermuda Triangle. He saw some, you know, strange lights in the sky. And I think it's possible that perhaps there could be some sort of portal or gateway there to another dimension where these UFOs are coming from.
And you wrote about, I think the book that I was referring to is about Flight 19.
Yeah, Flight 19, which still, all these years later, I think it disappeared in 1945, they've still not found the planes, I think. At least last time I've checked, they've not found them. So, you know, that mystery still stands. And, you know, if somebody found those planes, can you imagine the fame that they would, you know, achieve just overnight if they'd solved this, you know, one of the greatest mysteries of the 20th century? So if those planes are there to be found, I think they would have been found by now.
Richard, can you make a living at this stuff?
Make a living at what?
At writing about paranormal UFOs. Can you make a living at it?
Well, maybe if you found Flight 19, you could make a living at it. Otherwise, no, I wouldn't advise it. You can't really. Maybe, you know, one in a million people can. But I don't think most people can't. I mean, the sort of money you'd get for articles and things like that in magazines, you just break even, really, if you've got a website and things like that you've got to pay for. You know, you're lucky to break even, basically.
So it's more of a labor of love or something to satisfy your own interests, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yes. The critics would say everybody's out to make up these stories to make a bunch of money. They have no idea. They have no idea.
No. You know, these critics are probably making more money than people writing about UFOs and things. That's the irony.
We're going to take a couple of phone calls and see what's on the minds of our listeners, starting with Jeff in Culver City on the wild card line. Hi, Jeff. You're on with Richard Thomas.
Yeah, how you doing, George and Mr. Thomas? Yes, these partial and sometimes complete manifestations or materializations of ectoplasmic ghost-like apparitions are not only real, I think, but due to these intense energies throughout the skies, these phantasms are becoming more of a reality and commonplace to those individuals who can connect with them. Just in the last 20 years, there's been even more widespread use of electronics and the radio waves that they emit, given our technological advances. My question is this, Mr. Thomas. Do you think that there's a possibility of awakening or disturbing the deceased because of this electronic interference, and that it somehow stirs up the ectoplasm of these spiritual or ghost-like beings, the reason we're seeing them so often and so commonplace? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Oh, Jeff, interesting idea.
What do you think, George?
I have no idea. I'm hoping that you would be able to answer that. That's an interesting idea. Have you heard that before?
No, not really. I've heard of ectoplasm, of course. This is supposed to be the substance that spirits are made of. You know, you see it in a lot of the old Victorian sort of photographs of alleged ghosts and things. You know, when I've seen these old photographs and things, I'm not really convinced. You know, it looks like trickery and things to me. So I'm not really convinced about the idea of ectoplasm.
Well, I know that ghosts have been reported by humans for a long time, longer than there has been electricity and electronic gadgetry, at least on the scale that we've got now. So I suspect, at most it might be an additional factor, but I'm not sure it would be the definitive factor. But interesting idea, Jeff. John in Jessup, Maryland on the wild card line. Hi, John. You're on with Richard.
Hey, good evening, George. Richard.
Howdy.
Hey, earlier in the program, you were mentioning about, you know, other topics that Richard was interested in, including things like the Illuminati and maybe a little bit of conspiracy theories. And conspiracy theories tend to be more along my line of interest. And with the current statements that have been made by Pope Francis, including one over the weekend about the global economic collapse that he says is imminent, what do you think about the Pope's role in ushering in what conspiracy theorists refer to as well as end-time teachers about the New World Order?
Richard, any thoughts?
What is the basic question? Do I think the Pope is
Is he helping to usher in the new world order, or he's making some pretty interesting pronouncements? I think at a minimum, you can say, man, this guy is really, he's an activist pope. I mean, he's taken on all kinds of stuff. I'm not a Catholic, so I don't know what kind of waves he's created within the Catholic world, but I can imagine it's quite a bit.
Well, he's a very powerful man, I suppose, and you know, if there is an Illuminati that rules the world, you would think that the Pope would have to be, you know, involved in some way, because you know, Catholicism is the largest, you know, of the Christian religions.
John, there in Maryland, did you have some theories on it? Did you want to share something with us? Your take?
Yes. Well, my take on it is that. That one, Pope Francis is a Jesuit, and the Jesuit order has been the subject of quite a few conspiracy theories over the past couple hundred years, and as far as their role in leading the rest of the world toward a one-world government, one-world religion, and one-world currency, to which everybody would have to comply or face dire consequences.
So who would this guy be taking his marching orders from, or he's the top of the heap? What's your theory?
Well, my theory is that he may not be the top of the heap, but he's pretty close.
Well, I don't know if enough about it to argue with you, but I appreciate your input there. Richard, anything to add?
Not really.
Okay, we're going to move on. East of the Rockies, Sam in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Sam. Welcome to the program. You're on with Richard Thomas.
Yeah, how you doing? This happened to me. I have a lot of experience and stories, but I'm just going to just share one or two. This happened in the 90s. I was in the daytime, and I was in the beaches area and in my car in traffic. And I felt like something weird was about to happen to me. And as I was feeling that moment, I can't remember on one of my hands. I felt a stinging in my flesh, and I was scared to look because I knew I was something was going on. And after about a minute, I looked at it, and it was some sort of alien hieroglyphics. Like writing, like many of them, and it was on my hand. It wasn't an implant; it was a brand. You know how you take a piece of metal and you brand a cow, and it stings in the flesh. That's what was going on. And I was just wondering if you could shed some light on that story. What do you think?
Well, hold on here a second, Sam. Now, I mean, did it actually happen? Is there still a mark there now? Was it branded into your skin?
And I forgot to finish. After about a minute, it just went away. The stinging, it was in my flesh, and it just went away. And it was like in a perfect circle. Inside of the circle, it was some sort of I don't know how to explain it, like some alien hieroglyphic. It was three-dimensional. It's just like it was being branded in my hand, and there was just nothing. I don't know how to explain it. Like I said, it wasn't an implant. It was just like I was being branded with some sort of symbol.
And so has it ever happened before? Was anyone else there to see it?
No.
Happened before, and nobody was there to see it?
No. It's just I've got many stories, but I just want to, because I know I could talk on your show until your show stops, but I'm just going to just share that with you.
All right. Let's see if Richard has any comment on that. Richard, ever heard anything like that?
Well, kind of. Not actually somebody being branded, but I've read David Icke's early books, and he talks about, you know, that seeing an eye in the wall just appear and sort of vanish. And it kind of reminds me of that experience a little bit. I don't really have any advice to give or anything like that. I would just say sort of ignore it. And if it happens again to tell somebody would be my advice. But, you know, I'm not an expert or any, I've never heard anything like this before. really.
Sam, you said alien type hieroglyphics. Did you see any alien being? Did a ghost appear? What the heck was responsible for this? What's your take on it?
No, I was just I got back from a trip from surfing, and I just got into traffic to go back into town, and I just sitting in my car waiting for the light to change and all this traffic. I just felt like something bombarding me with a feeling that something was about to happen. And then as I was thinking that, I looked on my, I felt like a sting, like something branding me, not an implant or anything. And I glanced down, it was just, like alien writing, like alien hieroglyphic in like a perfect circle with all these like writings within this. It was about the size of about a quarter on the top of my hand, like something branding in my flesh for about a minute.
I'll tell you what, Sam, why don't you draw it? Why don't you make a drawing of what you remember it looking like and send it to me? You can't?
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Send it to me. And I'll post it. We'll take a look at it and we'll post it. Thanks for calling in. Try to get one more call in before the break. Steve in Los Angeles, west of the Rockies. Hi, Steve. You're on with Richard.
Hi, George. Hi, Richard. Oh, man, this is stuff that is, it's so important. I love your show. Thank God your show is on. It covers a variety of topics I'm interested in. You talked about passion, and you were talking about Columbus, and you were talking about immortality. And, these are subjects that are of great interest to me. I don't know if you're familiar with an author named Zachariah Sitchin. He wrote some books called The Earth Chronicles.
Sure.
And I've been studying these for a while now, and it seems to explain a lot of different stuff. And, Lloyd, you said that we're not going to have the answers. We don't have the answers to a lot of stuff, and I think a lot of the answers that we do have are probably – you know, not correct. I haven't been taught the truth about a lot of history. Now, I don't know what it is in UK or in the Wales, but in the US, our government may not be completely honest with us about a lot of the things that have happened, like Roswell and some other events. And I was just wondering if it was the same way in Wales or the UK, and if the stories of early Sumer, the ancients, to the Egyptians and people like that, if they were considered mythology in the UK and in Wales, because they are certainly considered mythology here. And Planet X would explain a lot of the the Earth is being perturbed by something, and the core is being warmed. I think that's pretty much a given. And it's all being explained away, and probably, you know, if they can see it, it's supposedly between us and the sun. If they can see it, I don't think they would tell us, and maybe for good reason, you know. And what's your take on that? And do you think that, do you guys, are you interested in that same subject, and do you have any opinion on it? Basically, that's my question.
I'll tell you what, we got about a minute before we go to the break, so let's let Richard take on at least some of that. Richard?
Well, in terms of the government keeping secrets, I would say in the UK it's a lot worse than it is in America, because in America you have a much freer society because, you know, the American Revolution and things. In this country, we're much more used to the government keeping secrets from us. So
I'll tell you what, Steve asked a lot of stuff, so why don't we hear the music telling us we're taking a break. We'll come back and we'll continue with your answers to his multifaceted question there. Stick around, everyone. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're joined by Matthew Swain, who's got a new book, Haunted Rock and Roll, Ghostly Tales of Musical Legends. Some pretty interesting ghost stories involving famous people, the dearly departed. For now, we're talking with Richard Thomas, who has written extensively about ghosts and ghostly investigations in the UK. We'll continue that conversation. Maybe you'd like to share your ghost story with Richard. An ongoing author looking for material, and maybe he wants to write about your experience. So give us a call if you can, and we'll pick up the conversation right after this on Coast to Coast AM. Richard Thomas, before the break, Steve was asking us about the relative comparative openness of governments, and you were saying about government secrecy in the UK?
Yeah, I think we're a much more secret society, basically, than you are in America. And I would say that the subject of ancient astronauts among, you know, academics and the government in the UK is pretty much the same as it is in America. I mean, I've been volunteering for the past 6 or 7 months at a local museum, and I'm basically the volunteer marketing officer. I handle the museum's Facebook page, and I write press releases for the local paper and things like that. And one of the artifacts that I saw in the museum sort of caught my eye. It sort of, to me, it sort of looked sort of like it could be an ancient animal mutilation, because it kind of had this strange-looking being and these dead animals on one side. And on the other side, it had like a man finding these dead creatures. And I didn't say that that's what it was, but in a blog post, I sort of said that, you know, could it be this? Because at the museum, they didn't know what it was, because this museum is an Egyptian museum, and it wasn't an Egyptian artifact. They didn't know what it was at all. But I got myself in a little bit of hot water from, you know, just suggesting the idea. Oh. You know, they sort of had a word with me, and so I would say it's, you know, it's about the same as the US. It's very controversial. They don't want to even sort of consider it.
Well, even if they sold a few more tickets or had a few more feet in the through the front door. Let me ask you this. Steve also was mentioning about Zachariah Sitchin. Are you familiar with that? Have you read that stuff?
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with Zachariah Sitchin. He believes that humans were basically created by aliens, you know, to mine for gold. That guy,
Well, you've written about genetic engineering, and you've written about that possibility, yeah. Right? You're open to it.
Yeah, I'm very much open to that sort of idea. I don't think it was all done in one go, though. I don't think it was just one alien species sort of created humans. I think it's quite possible that there could have been multiple species that have visited the Earth, perhaps over thousands of years, and sort of tinkered with the inhabitants.
Well, maybe we're still a work in progress. You were saying?
Yeah, with abductions. Perhaps we are a work in progress, and perhaps all the changes are not for our benefit. You know, perhaps they're not trying to make us better beings. Perhaps they're trying to make us, you know, less intelligent, more controllable.
Let's go back to the phones. John in Newark, New Jersey. Hi, John. What's on your mind?
About 20 years ago, I read the entire Bible. New and Old Testament. There was one passage in there which blew my mind. It mentioned a column of fire. If that isn't an extraterrestrial, I don't know what is. Do either of you gentlemen know about this passage?
I can't say I do. I know there are other references in the Bible that sure sound like UFOs, Ezekiel,
right.
For one.
A column of fire, right.
Nope.
Richard, do you know about that?
It rings a little bit of a bell. Was this Moses in the desert?
That's the burning bush, maybe. Is that
it? It might have been. It might have been.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it might be Moses leading, you know, the Hebrews to the promised land. He was guided by a pillar of fire or something like that. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's quite possible that these things in the Bible, you know, could be. Well, they are UFOs, aren't they? They're unidentified flying objects. The strange things in the sky that people can't identify, that they associated with supernatural beings. It's just in the past they would, you know, that they would call that God. And today, because we're, you know, much more scientific, we use terms like aliens.
Thank you, John. We're also talking to John on the other wildcard line, who is trucking in Oregon. Hi, John. You're on with Richard Thomas.
Yes, sir. Thank you, George. I love the show, long-time listener. Richard, I got a couple of quick stories about our family castle over in Pembrokeshire, Wales.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've been to Pembrokeshire.
Yeah, okay. The first one is just a short one. It's about Lucy Walters. She was the last mistress of George II, and she mysteriously died. She lived there in the castle. She mysteriously died, and people at the time thought that she was killed because that the king didn't want to have, a secret bastard child at the time. But she's been seen a lot of times going through doors and so on like that there at the castle. She's a longtime resident of the castle. The second one is a real quick one. It's a more supernatural, and that is Adam DeRoop. What DeRoop was another way of saying our family name. This is back in the 1300s. A witch told him that he was going to die by a snake in within 1 year, but that if he didn't live, if he didn't get bit within that 1 year, that he lived to be a long, happy life. So he was really scared about it, and he stayed in the castle, in his room, for an entire year. And the very last night, the storm kind of came up, and so his servant came up and built him a fire, and he had a glass of wine. He was really happy about, boy, this is the last day, finally get to get out of here, and now I'm going to have a long, happy life. But in the wood pile that they brought in, besides what he started the fire with, was a poisonous snake, an adder of some sort. And it snuck out after he went to bed, crawled into bed with him and bit him, and he ended up dying on the very last day.
Oh, man.
And this, supposedly this was a true story, but it was kind of, the thing about it was that it was, a witch had told him and sort of foretold that. And so I thought, that kind of brought into the superstitious, side of it. Anyway, that's my two stories, and I really enjoy the show. It's a great show, and I'm a longtime listener. And George, I really appreciate you coming on whenever the other George isn't there. You're a great host.
Hey, John, before you leave, now your yes. family has a castle, the family castle.
Yes, actually, and our lineage goes directly back to it. It was built back in the 1100s, and I followed our heritage back, and my great-grandfather that came here to America, his lineage went directly back to that family, and my wife and I are supposed to go there this coming year and visit it, and I just can't wait to go. The lady that took my call said that if we go, we should, call you back, give you an update what it would be like. And if I saw Lucy or anything,
so, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, please do that. And plus, your subjects over there might, want you to stick around.
Yeah, well, and the town right next to it is named the same thing. And so what's really interesting is there might be people that are, even though this clear back in the 1100s, clear to today, but they still have the same genes, And I thought it'd be interesting to wander around the town to see if there's people that are kind of like me, They don't necessarily have to look the same, but you kind of think the same and things like that,
Absolutely. So, you're going to have to give us a call and give us an update on that. Thanks, John.
Yeah,
thanks
maybe
for calling
I'll
in.
Try to take some pictures and maybe I could email them into the show.
All right. Appreciate that. Thanks for the call. Richard, so you've seen that castle. You know that castle.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've been to a lot of castles. That was a really interesting call. I'm actually working on a book about ghosts in South Wales. So if the listener would like to send me an email or contact me from my Facebook page, that would be great. You just go to richardthomas.com. That will forward you to my Facebook page, and you can find my email on there, richard@richardthomas.com.
Good. Well, we have a link on the Coast to Coast website as well. We'll have a link there, and people can communicate with you. They've got stories about Welsh ghosts. I mean, as you're working on this book, have you got any that really are pretty spooky, pretty weird?
Lots of white ladies.
Okay.
And gray ladies.
All right. East of the Rockies, Wesley in Dearborn, Michigan. Hi, Wesley. You're on with Richard Thomas.
Hey, hi, George and Richard. Appreciate you taking my call. Richard, you were talking earlier about stone, particularly granite, having some kind of memory, possibly. I was wondering if you had heard, there's the same theory going on about water itself, that water has basically recorded the whole history of the world, because it really never... never goes away. It just gets recycled, so it's always there. I just wondered if you had heard or studied any of that, and if you haven't, you probably should. It's right along that same lines. So.
Richard, your thoughts on that?
That is kind of interesting. You know, maybe that has something to do with the Bermuda Triangle. I don't know.
You know, you think about bits of silicon. You wouldn't think that a tiny little piece of silicon could store a whole bunch of memory, but we know differently now, don't we?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Wesley, thank you for the call. I wish we had more information for you, but that's an interesting idea. Maybe other audience members can chime in on it. We go now to the west of the Rockies, Arel, in Placer County, California. Hi.
Hello, George and Richard. So, you know, it's only during recent centuries and decades that humans have become familiar with the electromagnetic frequency. And, of course, scientists have come to recognize that there is antimatter, and in the string theorists realize that there are other dimensions. I'm just wondering that it's very likely that what we're considering to be supernatural is really just part of the all-inclusive breadth of reality. That's really nothing to be afraid of, as long as we're not opposing it. And as we learn more about it, we'll find out that we can live cooperatively with those extra dimensions as we can with those more familiar dimensions.
Richard?
Yeah, I understand what he's saying. You know, I do think about the paranormal as being like electricity or something like that. It's something you don't want to mess around with it. It could be dangerous, but it could also be very useful. I think maybe in 100 years, we might think of the paranormal like we think of viruses or microscopic organisms now. You know, hundreds of years ago, you know, people would laugh at you if you said that, oh, these little tiny animals, you know, called germs that cause diseases. You know, you can't see them. And I can't prove they're there, but they exist and they cause diseases. You know, that idea was sort of ridiculed and laughed at, you know, until we had the technology to be able to, you know, to actually see them. And I think it'll be the same with ghosts and the paranormal eventually.
Even the biblical record speaks about a prior kingdom or the kingdom of the heavens or the kingdom of many heavens and the many mansions and so forth. So there is really a larger breadth of reality that we need to become more familiar with. And I think as we live more coherently with that breadth of reality, we'll find that there are many values that we can gain as a result of more closely identifying with that larger and more ancient breadth of reality.
I can't disagree with that. You know, you look at the human history, the different paradigm shifts that have taken place. I mean, the early humans who looked at the stars and thought that they were gods. Flash forward thousands of years, and we thought that the stars circled around Earth, that Earth was center of the universe, and then we found out that was not true. Humans have been wrong all the way along. Now we're pretty much convinced we know how things work, and Big Bang started it all, and could be that we're going to be proven wrong again, that the things that are classified now as paranormal are actually quite normal. We just haven't figured out how they work yet. Thanks for the call. We're going to try to get one more, at least one more, maybe two. First-time caller Thomas in Michigan. Hi, Thomas. You're on with Richard.
Yes, how you doing, George and Richard? You know, the question I want to ask is that, is it possible for two complete strangers to have the same exact experience, supernatural experience? Is that possible?
You mean at the same time at different locations, or at the same place in the same time, or what do you mean?
At different locations, and I'm not sure about what time. Well, I'll briefly tell you, I'm 60 years old now, but when I was about 15 years old, I was training to be a welder, and all the power went out in the building where we were training. And so I laid up on the table just to relax and until the power come back on. And as I was laying there, some type of experience, my head started buzzing, and my eyes came open, and I couldn't move. And I was looking straight up at the ceiling, and we had some beams that was going across the ceiling. And I saw these little spider monkeys crawling on the beams up there. And out of the corner of my eyes, you know, on the corner where I could see this zombie, this mummy-like figure that was hiding behind the drink machine that was there. And he was trying to come over to me, but there's a lot of people in there. And each time it come out, it seemed like he thought he was going to be seen, so he kept darting back and didn't want to be seen. Now, fast forward about 10 years, 10 or 15, maybe even 20 years later, I'm not exactly sure. But I was driving, and I was listening to Coast to Coast. And this one guy came on, and he described the same exact experience that I had. The spider monkey that was over above his head, and the zombie figure that was trying to get over to him, but it didn't want to be seen. I almost wrecked the truck when I heard that, because I tried to stop and call in, but I couldn't get through. And wow. This has been bothering me all these years. And I'm telling you the absolute truth. I'm not imagining. This is what I experienced. And this guy called in with the same exact experience that I had.
Man, that is freaky, Thomas, because that's not a normal experience. Not like I saw a ghost, I saw an alien. That is really pretty unusual.
I know it is very unusual. I couldn't believe he was describing the same exact thing that I saw. And that's why I was asking, is that possible that two complete strangers experienced the same identical event like that?
Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the caller's answered his own question. If it did happen to somebody else, and, you know, you both had the same exact experience, then it is possible. What the experience means, I don't really have any idea. But I think it's possible that consciousness at a deep level, that all humans are connected. You know, can you imagine, you know, islands are separate on the surface, but if you go down deep enough to the ocean bed, they're all connected as one landmass. I think consciousness might work in a similar way so that all humans are connected. So maybe that could explain that experience.
Thomas, we really appreciate you telling us that story. If anybody out there has heard something similar or saw something similar, send me a note. I'd appreciate hearing about it, and maybe we can pass it on to Thomas, and he can feel a little bit better about that. That's a pretty strange experience there. Richard Thomas, thank you for joining us. I hope you'll come back. Let us know what you're up to, what kind of projects you're working on.
Cool. Paranews is my book.
Okay. I hope people will check it out.
On Amazon.com.
All right. Well, we've got links on the Coast website that people can check it out, and we'll have you back again sometime. Thank you, Richard. Coming up, Matthew Swain, Haunted Rock and Roll.